I am on. Okay. I'm going to start by bragging about my favorite son-in-law I could ever hope to have. All the ones I have, there's one that's my favorite. Any idea who that might be? It's the one holding that little white baby back there in a white dress and white socks. And Drew. Well, Marcy wanted a pup this past summer. So we got this little baby pup. It was about this big. I think it was 6 weeks old. And it has been such a joy and a headache, sometimes several of those combinations every day. They like to eat stuff. Like floors. You ever know of a dog that liked to, I mean, not just rip pieces of linoleum up like this, but chew them and swallow some of them? He had a hard time going to the bathroom for several days, but twice he did that. And Marcy hasn't been doing too good, so I've been doing most of the cooking, and that's why she isn't here today. But you're going to be praying for her, right? And the other night, I made this really nice dinner for her. I was proud, and I fixed our plates, and I set my plate on the top of the stove, and I took hers in to give her. And she said, "Oh, that looks so nice." I went back out to mine. All the meat was gone off the plate. The only thing I had to eat that night was string beans. So anyway, Drew offered for my Christmas present and my birthday present and my Father's Day present for the next 40 years. He's going to lay down these tiles in my floor. Took about 100. These are bigger tiles, 2x1, so it took about 50 of them to lay them down, ceramic tiles that Boaz hasn't figured out how to eat yet. And we started coming up with a plan. We got the cement board down. If you ever did anything like that, you got to have a good base. So we had the cement board down. And then when he was ready to go that night, it was getting kind of late, but we said, "So, Drew, what's the game plan? Tomorrow night? Yeah, after work. And where are you thinking of starting?" "Well, I'm thinking of starting right here as we leave the garage into the hallway." I said, "Okay, that sounds like a good plan." And sometime during the night, I woke up and thinking, I don't know if that's a good plan or not. Because if we start in the hallway, we work our way back. We can't step on any of those tiles for a day. That means we have to go all the way around the house and go in the garage and get another tile and come back around. And I said, "Drew, I have an idea." And I don't know who said it first. I think it was Drew said, "Yeah, I don't think that idea is going to work. Maybe we should go the other way." You know what I mean? And work our way towards the garage door. And that worked. But it made me think of this saying. Anybody ever hear this saying before? Be careful not to paint yourself into a corner. You know what that means? Everybody understands that? And the more I thought about it, I think that would make a neat sermon. Be careful not to paint yourself into a corner. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Thank you, Drew, for the insight and the help. Because sometimes life can be like that. You try to avoid painting yourself into a corner, but how many of you have ever found out that you don't catch them all? And you end up in the corner sometimes. Proverbs in the Bible, right after the Psalms, they're full of insights of how not to paint yourself into a corner. It's one of my favorite books. When I first became a Christian, my boss had a Bible study on Friday morning, and we picked the psalm of the day, not psalm, the proverb of the day, and that's what we read every Friday. And got so much information and insights out of that. But you know, sometimes we still find ourselves getting stuck in a corner, painted ourselves in a corner. And when that happens, you just have to deal with it. And it's a lot easier if you catch it beforehand. I'll give you an example. One of the guys that was helping me work on that building, get all that tin off, Tavi, you know, I'm our missionary in Romania. And he's coming Friday night. And he's not going to be speaking, but he's going to be part of your cheering section. Gary, okay? And I was supposed to go pick him up right before and bring him back for the work day. And I had about 15 minutes. I was going to just go around with my van around the perimeter of our property down there and pick up all the garbage that people throw along the road and stuff. No big deal. And I got to the place where that little pond is going to be. And I can make it through that. Now, if I was smart, even to try, I would have just floored it. But no, I'll just creep up on that thing and I'll be fine. And I wasn't fine. I was stuck. I was almost stuck to the axles in my van. That stuck. And you see, it's not that bad, except that I had to pick up Tavi in 20 minutes. And it's a 15-minute drive at least. And what am I going to do now? I painted myself into a real predicament, a real pickle. God, I don't know what I could do. I tried crawling under there. I was sopping wet with mud. Remember that, Patrick? You notice all the mud on me? I tried. I need to lose a little more weight to get under there when it's down to the axles. And God, you're going to have to send somebody. I don't know what else to do. I don't even have Tavi's number to call him. And honest to God, within 1 or 2 minutes after I crawled back out, shimmied out as far as I could get in and out, this guy in this red pickup stopped by and said, "Jess, you look like you're in trouble." I said, I'm really in trouble. "What's your name?" That's how good we are, good friends. It was Jack. It was down across the bridge. And he said, "Are you stuck?" "Oh, I'm stuck big time." "Let me go get a chain. We'll pull you out." So he went and got a chain, pulled me out. And I actually made it to Tavi's with 30 seconds to spare, as long as no one's seen me going as fast as I did in a police car. No, but I made it, okay? And when you do get in a pickle, a bad spot, painted yourself in the corner, you could pray to God and say, "God, I messed up again. Could you help me?" Isn't it amazing God would send a helper in 2 minutes max to stop by and pull me out? Now, I am so glad I have a God that can take care of my blunders and my mistakes and all those other things in my life. How many people here like putting puzzles together? 1, 2, 3, a couple more. That's one of Marcy's favorite pastimes. The only time I put a piece of puzzle together for Marcy, she has it started. And if you know, I don't sleep real good at night. I get up and then I have to go down and do something, read or send some emails or something. And when the puzzle's up, I said, "Okay, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to try to get one puzzle and if I one piece, and if I get that piece in, I'll draw arrows on paper to point to it for Marcia to see, I did it, Marcella. But anyway, it's just not my thing to do. I like to do. Some people really like to do it. And could you imagine putting a puzzle together if you didn't have any cover or picture of what the finished product is going to look like? No, I'm serious. Would that be hard to do? That'd be pretty much impossible. Marcy got this puzzle. I'll let this here for you to see. It's a bunch of guys in the background and horses driving this herd of cattle across the stream. And they're just barely keeping their nose above water. And this one in the front, you could see the flies on it even. But if I was him, I'd just duck down real fast and bring my head back up, get rid of those flies. But if you have a picture like that, it helps. Helps keep you out of painting yourself in a corner. You know what we do have? We have this book here that has a picture of the puzzle. A lot of times in our life, it seems like this is just a hard puzzle to work this day and that day and whatever. But this has all the pictures that we need to know how to put that puzzle together if we take time to look. Now I got another question. Normally it's the other way around. How many of you, when you get lost, like to stop and ask directions? Two or three? I do. And sometimes it irritates Marcy. Just keep driving. We'll find it. We'll find it. So it's usually the ladies that like to look for the directions are asked. And the guys, you know, it's the macho thing. We don't need directions. We have this whole big thing to put together, and we're not going to look at the directions. And then we find out we have seven pieces left over when we finished. Where do those seven pieces go? And so we have to be willing to ask directions from God. And God will show you what to do. I was thinking of several of the ways that we can keep ourselves from painting ourselves into a corner. These are the four that I come up with, and I'm sure there's a lot more. But here's the four. Number one, you can let your emotions get the better of you and find yourself painted into a corner. You understand what I'm saying? Your emotions, you know, your feelings. And I don't really look at myself as a warrior, okay? I'm not a warrior. I'm not a warrior. I'm not a warrior. Okay, sometimes a worry. But last year before kids camp, I was worrying. We come this close to not being able to open up our kids camp last year. Of all the regulations, hoops to jump through, the big one was the water. And we didn't have the counselors we needed, but at the last minute we had them. We didn't have the water sample approved, but the last minute we had it approved. And we didn't have all these different things. Don't you just love it when God takes you down to the last minute? You liar. I don't like it. I want it done so it's nice and easy to get it done. And it wasn't happening that way. And if some of you remember, last year before camp and during camp, I had three what they call mini strokes. Now, you can have a bad stroke and be paralyzed sometimes for life. But you can have these mini strokes where basically your mind just goes blank and you can't think of what you're trying to say and can't be able to say it. And the worst one was the first one I had. It lasted maybe 10 seconds, but it was during a sermon. I don't know if you remember that. It was what do I do? I can't do it. And so Marcy after the second one, said, "You're going to the hospital." And she said it after the first, but I gave in for the second. And I seen these doctors, several different doctors, and they all said the same thing. These mini strokes, they could be caused by one of three things. I didn't know anything about that. First one is you could have some problems with your heart. That would cause a mini stroke. So they put this monitor on me. For 2 weeks, I had to have this my heart monitored. And after that, I send it in, and then I meet with somebody, and they explain what they found out. It's amazing, one of the things they found out. They said, "Jess, your heart is in good shape, but 15, 20 years ago, you had a heart attack." How do you know that? Well, it showed. I don't know how far it goes back. They could tell. And I knew I had a heart attack when it happened. It was when I was walking along the road. You know, I like to walk and stuff. And my heart started really hurting. And I thought, what's going on here? Am I having a heart attack? God, what's going on? And I felt like God say, "Speak to your heart. Speak life to your heart." So I did. And it stopped. And it's never come back. And my mom died earlier age. Her mom died when she was 36, I think, from a heart attack. So I had this in my family somewhat. But I spoke to my heart, "In the name of Jesus, be healed. Work properly. You have no right to stop working on me." And it worked. But that's another sermon. So he's saying, your heart's fine. You need to go have your head checked. So I went and had my head checked, several different tests, all these different tests to figure out what's wrong with my head. And some of you that know me would say, that has to be it, it's your head. But they did all these different tests, and they all come back negative also. There's nothing wrong with your head. I told that to Mars, and she just shook her head. But it's not my heart. It's not my head. So what is it? The only one left is the worrying. I don't worry. I don't think I worry. But when I had those mini strokes, I was pretty uptight about having to cancel camp. So we all come to conclusion, the doctors and myself. Marcy still thinks it's my head, but no. We all come to the conclusion that Jess, whether you realize it or not, you were worrying. Now, there's this game I heard about. It's called the what if game. What if? You know where I'm going with this? You have these things out there. What if the water doesn't pass? What if the counselors don't sign up? What if whatever? Can you see what I'm saying? It's called the what if game. How many have found themselves playing the what if game from time to time? And the rest of you are probably lying, right? Yeah. It's so easy to do. All those what ifs. And this last week, this is honest truth. They're not all even from our church, but several of them were playing this what if game. And I can relate because I've done that. And we have to decide this what if game is not worth the time or effort to keep putting myself through. I need to get control of this what if game. And you can do it with God's help. So there's the first one, your emotions. how easy it is to allow yourself to get caught up in that. The second one is our finances. Now, the emotions, I would say I have struggled with that time to time. And number four, when I get to that, number three, I get to finances, that's not been one I've struggled with. I found out that as I honor God with my life, if I only make $10, then a dollar of that, a tithe goes into the offering, and God has always pulled me through. Some of you don't know this, but you see all this church building and the youth center and all the property and all the cabins? Guess how much we had to borrow to do all those things? Zero. We've never owed a penny to anyone in 40-some years, 47 years. You're not going to find another church that can say that. Usually, the name of the church is Church of Jesus and Berwick National Bank. We've never done that. And God has always, always, always taken care of everything we had. But I think sometimes people get into a situation where they're either spending more money they didn't have, going into debt, and that catches up with them sooner or later, or buying things they don't need to buy. And all those things can put you painted into a corner. And you have to deal with that to get out of that corner. And it's not always easy, but you can do it. The third one that came to my mind was this: lack of communication. How can lack of communication paint you into a corner? Now, it could be communication with your wife, your spouse, your husband, your wife. And if you're not keeping the communication open, things could go downhill fast. With your kids, with your pastor. Now, it's not like I want everybody to come to me every time you have a communication problem. But if you're struggling with it, come and say, can you pray with me? Or can you at least help me? Or can you give me some advice? And for all these things. And I'd be glad to do that. Remember the song? I had two songs come to me this week when I was putting together. One was about worrying. You know, I admitted to that. Those mini strokes, worrying. And when I helped Andrew refinish his house after a flood down here at the corner, I found this fish in there on a plaque. You ever see this fish? I looked it up on the computer. You could still buy it. I forget what it's called, but you touch it, or sometimes it just goes off by motion senses, and it goes do 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 do. Don't worry, be happy. Do 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 do. You remember that fish? I nailed it to the front of Andrew's house, screwed it there when he wasn't here. And so he found out the next time he came home and tried to get in the front door. Who's singing? It's the fish. Do, 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 do. Don't worry, be happy. You know what the other song came to mind putting this together? And this goes way back. Jeff would remember it. I remember it. I don't remember how it goes, but it goes something like this. So-so with a golden spoon in his mouth, and he's coming to his dad and say, Dad, can we play catch today? And the dad says, yeah, he's the one. And the dad says, no, son, I don't have time today, but maybe tomorrow we can play catch. And the story goes, tomorrow never comes. Dad, can you take me fishing? Dad, can you play ball with me? Dad, can we go for a ride? You can teach me to drive. maybe tomorrow, maybe tomorrow. And at the end of the song, the boy has grown up and he's a man now. And the dad calls his son, say, son, can we get together and talk? And the boy says, well, Dad, I'd love to get together and talk, but I'm really super busy right now. Maybe tomorrow. What a sad indictment, huh? So you can't say that you can take advantage of your family or friends or whatever and it not paint you into a corner, because it happens. I want to give you several verses that will help us with that. And a lot of times I'll start in the beginning. This time I'm starting towards the end. And that's what we're going to look at. The first one, Estelle, is in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and 34. If you could put those two verses up, Matthew 6, 25 and 34. The whole story is Jesus telling this parable about not worrying. Matter of fact, I'm going to turn there because I think, you know, sometimes they have a little thing written above a section of scripture. And this one in my Bible, it says the cure for anxiety, worry. Okay. The cure, verse 25 reads like this. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And then it goes on to explain that. And then towards the end of the little story that Jesus told in verse 34, we read this. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things that you're worrying about, Jess, or anybody else, will be taken care of, will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, we probably don't have any problem understanding that. The problem is in between when we have a tendency to worry about something. We need to learn to turn those things to God, turn them to God. The second one is in Philippians 4, verse 6. I know I just read this a while back. It fits in perfectly here. Philippians 4, verse 6 says this, be anxious for nothing. Everybody has that worked out in their life, right? Notice when I ask those questions, everybody usually puts their head down, so I don't see them thinking. I still struggle with it at times too. But God say, don't be anxious for anything. Don't be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. For the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You notice something here. All these examples I have, it says, get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off your problem. Get your eyes off of your heart. Get your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Two more. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. That's a little book towards the end, right after James. 1 Peter 5. Six and seven. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. What does it mean to humble yourself? Admit that you don't have it all worked out, Jess. Lay down your pride and your arrogance and just say, God, I need your help. that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxieties, your fears, your struggles unto him, because he cares for you. That should be a verse I have highlighted in my Bible. You know, you can do that, and you won't get struck dead. Okay? So it's all I could never write in my Bible. Well, it helps me remember. But the one that came to mind most is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Only, most of the times, we don't notice a couple verses before that. It's in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans that I have for you. Now I want you to say that to yourself. I know the plans God has for me. No, that's not right. I know that God knows the plans that he has for me. I know that God knows the plans, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me and come to me and pray, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart, and I will be found by you. What a promise. But you know, when God gave that message to Jeremiah, the prophet, and he was to go out and speak that to the people were already in bondage. They were captured and sent to Babylon to be slaves. How do you like to be captured and pulled away from everybody, everything you knew, and made a slave? And but he's saying, just trust me. Trust me in this. And the thought that I had when I was reading that is somewhere in the scripture, and I found it was about four verses before it. Chapter 29, verse 7. Seek the welfare of the city where you have been sent into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare, you will have welfare. How come we skip that? All these things come into my life, and I hate them, I don't like them. I think I'm painted into a major corner. Maybe it's my health, maybe it's my marriage, maybe it's my finances, all those things. And God encourages you to pray for those people that have input into your life. Now, I'm going to say something that's a little political, but mostly it just goes along with reality. And I'm not trying to offend anybody, but before this last election, we were this close to losing all that we had precious in our country. Very close. And I think it's because of the people finally got up enough nerve to lay down and humble themselves and pray and say, God, we need your help. We need your blessing upon our country. We need your blessing upon our leaders. Give us leaders that will help us get out of this fix, get out of this being painted into a corner. Sometimes I looked at the news over the last several years, and it was like, we're in a corner, and I don't know what we're going to do about this. And it just kept getting darker and darker and darker. And the what ifs came big time. I want to close with one more verse and two closing thoughts. The first one, the verse, I came across this in my devotions this week, and I had it underlined from years ago. Sometimes I put dates on them, but it's in Deuteronomy chapter 5, for Estelle, for your sake. Verse 29, Deuteronomy 5, verse 29. And this is God speaking through Moses and says this, verse 29. And remember, this is God speaking to us. Oh, that they would have such a heart for them, that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that it may be well with them and with their sons forever. Can you see God's heart there in that verse? Oh, that my people would just have a heart to do what's right. Look at the instruction book. Look at the picture of the puzzle so you can get this figured out, Jess, that if you would just learn to be obedient to what I've told you to do in this word here, everything would work out, not only for you, but even your kids. You know, if you don't really care about yourself, care about your kids, your grandkids. I got 20 of them so far, maybe 21 pretty soon, who knows? But anyway, just do it for your kids, that you need to find out what God has put in this for me to learn how to live my life, my marriage, my job, my finances, my strength, my energy, all those things. And if I would do it the way God says to do it, it would not only be good for me, but it'd be good even for my kids, your sons and your daughters. Now, these are my two closing comments. And they both became because of this week during counseling. Like I said, I had about five different people, some of them not even in the state. But it fits anyone. Sometimes we allow others to point us, to speak to us, with their actions and their words, we allow others to put us into a corner. And you know what I'm saying? Sometimes people will say something and they'll say, maybe I am that way. What if? But again, you have to go back to God and say, God, what do you say about me? What do you say about me? So when people try to paint you into a corner, you better make sure you're living your life looking at the book that has the directions how to keep yourself straight from those things. And my last point, because it goes along together, sometimes you have to be just willing to get up. Now, if you paint yourself in the corner, you only have a little spot to get up. You're standing up. Sometimes, what did I do? Why did I allow people to talk me into this? Why did I believe those things, those lies? And sometimes you just have to get up and be willing to just walk across that wet paint and get out of there and say, God, I just need you to help. Does that make sense? We'll all have those times. You don't allow those things to control your life. Sometimes you have to be willing to get messy, walk to the other part, and just get out of there, swallow your pride, and walk out of that area of your life and get back in touch with God. I hope you can relate to some of those things. I can relate to all of them. They came out of personal experiences I've had. You don't want to look messy, right? You don't want to look like you don't know what you're doing. You don't want to look like you painted yourself into a corner. What corner? I don't see any corner. No, you just have to humble yourself. There's nothing wrong with saying, I was wrong. We should say that first to God. I was God. I was wrong. I'm going to get messy, but I'm not going to stay here in this corner. Help me finish fixing it up afterwards. The showers we built down there. I never laid a block in my life. And then we had to build these showers down there. If you look real close, especially towards the bottom of it, some of those rows of blocks are pretty bad. And then we poured the cement in there. And you poured the cement, you start in the back, you work your way out. I never poured cement like that before. And it's all right, you know, you can get it close to being smooth as you're working your way back. But what happens, how do you get up to the front and start over? Once it starts setting up, you step in that nice finished part, and it's all messy again. So I had to be God. I thought, I'm going to cut little pieces of plywood, and I'll lay them in front of me, and I'll walk on those pieces of plywood out there on my knees, and I'll finish it back there. I'll finish that corner, and I'll keep working my way back. And see, even if you get messy, and even if you make mistakes, God can still give you opportunities to fix it if you're willing to lay down your attitudes of arrogance and pride and say, I was just wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. I'll tell you, for guys, it's a real man that can admit to other people they were wrong. And you know what? Girls, it's a real girl that can admit. We all do it. So God, I pray that you would help us. Help us to lay down our pride. Help us to learn not to paint ourselves into a corner. And when we do, help us to know how to get up. Ask your forgiveness. Start moving in the right direction. Even if it's messy for a while, you can do that. In Jesus' name, amen.